నమోం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రసాయ ఉపదేశమే నమస్తే సరస్వతీదేవి గౌరవనికరిణే విశేషశూన్యవరి పశ్చాత్తాదశకాయ జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీయాద్వైతగరథా శ్రీవాసరి గౌరభక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరి 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 రామ 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 హరి హరి. సో వి రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ ది శ్రీ చైతన్య చరితామృత హరిలీల చాప్టర్ 4, ది కాన్ఫిడెన్షియల్ రీజన్స్ ఫర్ ది అపియరెన్స్ ఆఫ్ శ్రీ చైతన్య మహాప్రభు. బికాస్ హి విల్ బి డిస్కసింగ్ ది హలదిని పౌటన్సీ. దిస్ ఇస్ ది ఎనర్జీ శ్రీమతి రాధారాణి ఇస్ personified as the Haladini potency, so it gives us a better understanding of who Srimati Radharani is as we're building up a few days before Radhastami, so we can better understand Srimati Radharani and deepen our surrender under her beautiful lotus feet. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. O glorious is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, O glorious to Nityananda, O glorious to Dvaita Acharya, O glorious to all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. So we're reading from text number 60. Haladini karaya krishni anda swaradana haladini radvara kari bhaktira poshana. Translation: and purple by his divine grace Vai Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada ki jai. That Haladini energy gives Krishna pleasure and it nourishes his devotees. Please repeat. That Haladini energy gives Krishna pleasure and it nourishes his devotees. Purport. Srila Jiva Goswami has elaborately discussed the Haladini potency in his Priti Sandarbha. He says that the Vedas clearly state only devotional service can lead one to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only devotional service can help a devotee meet the Supreme Lord face to face. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is attracted by devotional service. And as such, the ultimate supremacy of Vedic knowledge rests in knowing the science of devotional service. So here is the importance of devotional service. Why it's so important is being stressed here. Only devotional service can lead one to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only means nothing else can. Only devotional service can help a devotee meet the Supreme Lord face to face. Nothing else can. Bhakti mama bhajananti, Krishna says. I'm known by bhakti, devotional service. He doesn't say jnani mama bhajananti, kami mama bhajananti. No, bhakta, bhakti mama bhajananti. And that Krishna himself is attracted by devotional. That is what attracts Krishna. So the whole of Vedic knowledge is to bring us to this point of understanding this science of devotional service. Why? Jiva Surupai Nitya Krishna Das. We are the eternal servants of Krishna, so we should know what is devotional service to Krishna. It is our constitutional nature. So, practically we see that the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is a movement that is propagating devotional service. Whatever we do, we tell people to chant Hare Krishna. We engage them in some kind of service. While we're chanting Hare Krishna, we're engaging their ears in service, even if it's only they're only hearing from a distance. Sankirtan. But the first thing we do when we meet someone is to engage them in Krishna service, them to chant Hare Krishna, give him some knowledge of Krishna. You're not the body. Krishna says you are not the body. Krishna says he's the Supreme Person of the Godhead. You're his eternal servant. So, this is Govindaji. Govinda is the Abhideya deity, the deity of devotional service. So practically speaking, this movement is conducted by Govindaji. Actually, Prabhupada says in the Krishna book, the International Society, the activities for the International Society for Krishna Consciousness are being, I think he uses that word, conducted by Srila Jiva Goswami. Sri Rupa Goswami. Meaning even today. So Rupa Goswami is the servant. His Lord and Master and worshipful deity is Govindaji. So this is expressing devotional service. We're talking about devotional service because devotional service is nothing but Srimati Radharani. She is the personified devotional service. Devotional service, when we're speaking of devotional service, we're indicating we want to please someone by service. That is the idea. We're not approaching, we serve our boss to get some money, but in devotional service, we're not approaching for any kind of reward like that. We're trying to please Krishna. He's the object of our Savior. Or he's receiving the worship. That service is actually, the personification of that service is Srimati Radharani. And Krishna is only accepting service to Srimati Radharani. So, what is the particular attraction that makes the Lord enthusiastic to accept devotional service? And what is the nature of such devotional service? The Vedic scriptures inform us that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the absolute truth. He is self-sufficient, and that Maya, nescience, can never influence him at all. Therefore, the potency that overcomes the Supreme must be purely spiritual. Such potency cannot be anything of the material manifestations. The bliss enjoyed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be of material composition, like the impersonalist conception of the bliss of Brahman. Devotional service is a reciprocation between two, and therefore it cannot be located simply within oneself. Therefore the bliss of self-realization, Brahmananda, cannot be equated with devotional service. So here, important point is being made. Srila Prabhupada is making this point that Krishna, He's enthusiastic to accept devotional service, yet he himself is Atmarama. He doesn't need anyone's service. But here we find he's very eager and enthusiastic to accept devotional service. So, Prabhupada is mentioning that that potency which Krishna is attracted to, certainly it's not material. He's not trying to enjoy material potency, like the living entities of this material world. We're trying to get our pleasure in this material world through material senses. So Krishna, why he should come here and get pleasure? He has a whole spiritual world. So certainly Krishna's not going to come here for pleasure or get pleasure in the material world, which he himself says is the place of misery and suffering. Again and again he repeats it. It's a place of suffering. Why would he come here and try and get some pleasure here? Well, he has his own abode. So Krishna is very enthusiastic to accept service of his devotees. So, but we're in the material world, but we can understand it's not. He can't be accepting happiness from the material world or the material elements. It's not a material conception. There is a reciprocation between two. This is what service means. There has to be a relationship of the served and the server. So this is actually performed on the spiritual platform. And then Krishna gets his bliss from that. That is his ananda. So the point Prabhupada is making is that the impersonalists, their conception of the bliss of Brahman is more or less the absence of suffering. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita about the self person becomes self-realized. And he, you know, he relishes and rejoices in the self. He feels there's no greater gain. He's self-realized. Then Krishna says, this is indeed happiness arising from cessation of material misery. This is Krishna's definition of the bliss of Brahman, which is the final goal of life, actually. Dharma, Arpa, Kama, Moksha. The great moksha everybody's talking about. The Upanishads are chanting the glories. Krishna's glorification of that moksha. This is indeed happiness arising from material cessation. It means there's no misery, so you're happy. So it's not a big thing. Krishna's the Upanishads and the persons who want liberation, for them it's the biggest thing. It's everything. It's so great, that little bit of bliss of Brahman, they're prepared to give up their own identity and merge into that Brahman. That's a big thing. To give up your identity, it means you must have something, must be very, very attractive, because everybody loves himself best of all in the material conception of life. To give up that, one's own conception of one's own self, you know, to lose your identity or identify as Brahman is a big thing. But Krishna says, oh, it's happiness, but it's happiness derived from absence of suffering. It means there's no suffering, that's all. That's what happens. But in devotional service, which the impersonalists are denying, there is a reciprocation between two, the lover and the beloved. So prem pumata pumam, this is the highest goal of life, you love God. So how you can love God if you're one with God? So this impersonal philosophy and many, many other philosophies, Buddhism, they're denying the highest principle of religion, to love God, with their philosophies, because everything becomes one or everything is zero. So this is why this is such a dangerous philosophy. But it's a very strong philosophy, and they get realization also. They get realization of Brahman. It's not that they're not talking of something tangible. That those who have actually become self-realized, they're actually experiencing that so-called bliss of Brahman. So it's something very tangible for them. But it's just compared to like the water contained in a hoof, calf's footprint in the mud, compared to a whole ocean of water that you find in the ocean. But due to their ignorance, only if they associate with devotees, only actually he has to be an automatic Hari to the only one who can. If a Mayavadi associates with an automatic Hari, maybe he can change. Otherwise, that philosophy is so dangerous. It's denying any existence of duality. So duality means, how can God have a pleasure potency? There's God and he has a potency, pleasure potency. That's true. There's a duality. How is it possible? So God doesn't have these qualities. God is one, he's alone. And they're realizing it too. Aham Brahmasmi, I am Brahman. Vasudev platform. Vasudev is Krishna alone. They're realizing the existence of Krishna as Brahman. Brahmaniti, Paramatmi, Bhagavaniti. It's understood in three. They're understanding Krishna's presence as Brahman. So it's tangible for them. But there's no reciprocation there. There can't be reciprocation. That means there has to be a duality. Love takes two. I love you, you love me. So how can that be going on in the spiritual world where everything is one? Everything is one. So this is the danger that Krishna and his energies. So if there is energies, Krishna appears to display energy, so it must be material, because it can't be spiritual. Has to be duality in the spiritual world. So therefore they bring Krishna's pastimes that they say it's a display of the material energy. Krishna appears in the mode of goodness. This is the biggest mistake of Mayavad philosophy. That when Krishna comes here, he accepts a body, made it a mode of goodness. And then Krishna's out performing Rasleela at night with others' wives. And they're saying mode of goodness. It's not mode of goodness. It's very, very passionate, isn't it? But if they're so foolish, they can't see. You know, Krishna was an ordinary person. He became self-realized. But ultimately, Krishna's body will dissolve. My body will dissolve. Then we'll become one. Very, very dangerous philosophy. Prakashananda Saraswati Thakur was preaching that. God, he has no hands, he has no eyes, he has no... Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, he's tearing me apart. Like that guy in Benares, the Prakashananda, he's tearing me apart. He's saying, I've got no legs, I've got no eyes, I've got no... Using the Upanishad. So this is how you can preach. The Chutananda Maharaj, he was in India in the early days. He would preach like this in the Mayavadis. They would start preaching. Then he would say, you know what he's saying? He's saying God's got no head. He wants to cut off Krishna's head. Krishna's got no hands. He wants to cut off his hands. He wants to cut off his legs. And all the simple people, yeah, why are you saying like this? Why are you trying to murder Krishna? Hey, get out of here, you bogus speaker. And he would influence all the whole audience and say he's trying to kill Krishna. He's trying to chop him into pieces. And the innocent people, they accepted it, and they used to tell the speaker to get out of it, stop speaking nonsense. Killers of Krishna. So Krishna's all spiritual, so when he wants to enjoy, he expands his spiritual potency. He has unlimited potencies. He has unlimited potencies. And so specifically, God's business is enjoyment. He is known as Rasaraj. Hey, this is the purpose of life, actually. Enjoyment. So when he wants to enjoy, he expands his pleasure potency. And the greatest object and that manifestation is Srimati Radharani. So this is Krishna's greatest enjoyment, is when he's enjoying with Srimati Radharani, and everything is assisting that we can do. So anyway, Krishna, he has no material qualities. Haladini is the personal manifestation of blissfulness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by which he enjoys pleasure. Because the pleasure potency is perpetually present in the Supreme Lord, the theory of the impersonalists that the Lord appears in the mode of goodness cannot be accepted. The impersonalist conclusion is against the Vedic version that the Lord possesses a transcendental pleasure potency. When the pleasure potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is exhibited by his grace in the person of a devotee, that manifestation is called love of God. Love of God is an epithet for the pleasure potency of the Lord. Therefore, devotional service reciprocated between the Lord and his devotee is an exhibition of the transcendental pleasure potency of the Lord. Again, when the pleasure potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is exhibited by his grace in a person of a devotee, that manifestation is called love of God. So in other words, when Krishna bestows the Haladini potency upon a person, that is known as love of Godhead. And therefore, devotional service reciprocated between the Lord and his devotee is an exhibition of the transcendental pleasure potency of the Lord. So this is how we're approaching Krishna, to have a relationship with Krishna in service, through this medium of the Haladini potency, the transcendental pleasure potency of the Lord. The potency of the Supreme Personality of God that always enriches him with transcendental bliss is not material. The Shankarites have accepted it as such because they are ignorant of the identity of the Supreme Lord and his pleasure potency. Those ignorant persons cannot understand the distinction between impersonal spiritual bliss and the variegatedness of the spiritual pleasure potency. The Haladini potency gives the Lord all transcendental pleasure, and the Lord bestows such potency upon his pure devotee. So here again mentioned, the Haladini potency gives the Lord all transcendental pleasure, and the Lord bestows such a potency on his pure devotee. So it's a gift from Krishna. The Haladini potency, it's a gift. Love of God is a gift. Any spiritual realization is actually a gift. So, it says here in another purport, only when the Haladini Shakti emanates from Sri Krishna and is bestowed upon the living entity to attract him, does the living entity become a pure lover of God. In other words, only when the Haladini Shakti emanates from Krishna, it's coming from Krishna to the living entity and is bestowed upon the living entity, then Krishna becomes attracted by him. So Krishna is attracted to that all-attractive energy, the Haladini potency. But that potency is actually coming from Krishna, and then it attracts Krishna to that. Then the relationship can begin. the living entity is also, as Haladini potency, Satchitananda, this is the same thing. Sambit, the existential potency, the spiritual potency, everything existing, through the Sambit potency, whole of the spiritual world, Sandini potency, existence, the existential potency, then Sambit, means cognizant, knowledge, we're aware of things, that potency, and the haladini, the pleasure potency. These three are the three major potencies. They are one potency, one energy, shuddha-sattva, but they manifest, one manifests in three different aspects of sandini, sambit, and haladini. So haladini is the pleasure potency. So the first living entity, he becomes cognizant of himself. He should become cognizant. So this is Shandini or Sat. Sat Chit Ananda, same thing. Eternality, knowledge and bliss. Same thing as Sandini, Sambit and Haladini. So when a living entity becomes cognizant of his pure nature, that is called Vasudeva consciousness. When the consciousness is pure, when there are no impurities, all the impurities of God, this is called Vasudeva consciousness. You're understanding your pure existence as soul. So this is Krishna alone, Vasudeva. And it's no different than the Absolute Krishna. So you can feel that oneness with the Absolute, Vasudeva consciousness. So this is what the Mayavadis, the goal of the Mayavadis, they just want this consciousness, it's just all one consciousness. But devotees, so therefore the Mayavadis, they only want this oneness, so therefore they're not even interested in the Haladini potency. Because they don't want a relationship, they just want to taste that oneness. But the devotees, they're understanding, they want to actually enter into a relationship with Krishna. So they're using that sambit function, our cognizant potency, our knowledge, both potency of awareness, to try to understand and serve Krishna. Now we're understanding through the association of devotees and devotional literature, we have to perform devotional service. We have to perform activities that are favorable for Krishna's pleasure. This is the type of activities, this is called bhakti, this is what we are learning. How to perform activities for Krishna's pleasure, favorable activities. So we're cultivating this because now we realize we're Krishna's servant, we're in the material world, we want to get back to that position of becoming Krishna's servant again and serving Krishna. So we've got all this literature from Rupa Goswami, etc., telling us how to do it, how to practice devotional service. And it has to be done with this favorable attitude for the pleasure of Krishna. So when we're experienced in performing that, we're giving up all the anarthas and we're practicing our devotional service, that means we're utilizing now that haladini potency we have. We are eternal, sat. We have chit, we have knowledge, and the haladini potency or the ananda potency, we have it already. It's there in the heart. Now we're cultivating that ananda process in the for Krishna's pleasure by medium through the medium of service. But because the jiva is so tiny, 1/10,000 size of the tip of a hair, is his haladini potency actually his blissful nature, his loving nature is not powerful enough to reach Krishna. So therefore it says that Krishna, he sends his haladini potency to meet the tiny jiva's haladini potency. Then the relationship can take place. Then Krishna is enjoying with that living entity through the potency, through the medium of the haladini potency. The Harinam Chintamani in the 15th chapter says that it's by the great mercy of the holy name, then a mixture of the haladini and sambit. Here he's mentioning haladini and sambit potency. In Prabhupada's purport, he's just mentioning the haladini potency. But anyway, by the mercy, great mercy of the holy name, a mixture of the haladini potency and the sambit shaktis, from the spiritual world, combined as Bhakti Devi. So this is Bhakti Devi. People often ask that question, who is Bhakti Devi? Here, in the Harinam Chintamani, I guess Haridas is talking. So it's Samvit, the cognizant potency, and the Haladini, the pleasure-giving potency. To render loving devotional service, we have to be cognizant, right? We have to be aware. So there's two potencies, the awareness, and the awareness that we are Krishna's Supreme Lord, we're His servants, and the process of devotional service. So we're using our cognizant potency to manifest the Haladini potency, or the proper service attitude. So for ourselves, it's too small. Our Haladini potency is not powerful enough to reach Krishna. But when Krishna is satisfied, here it says, by the mercy of the Holy Name, and the Holy Name is also the mercy of the devotees. But generally, so Krishna gives His mercy through the devotees. Generally, not directly. Although the Holy Name is Krishna Himself, but it comes through His devotees. His devotees, they give the Holy Name to everyone. We understand it's their mercy. Ultimately, it's the Holy Name's mercy. He's doing everything in this Kali Yuga. Harinam, Harinam, Harinam. But He lets His devotees distribute Himself. So out of His great mercy, the mixture of the Haladini and Samvit Shaktis from the spiritual combined as Bhakti Devi herself and descend upon this small jiva who possesses only a small portion of Haladini and Samvit. Bhakti Devi reveals to the jiva the ingredients of rasa in the full-blown flower of the Holy Name. By her mercy, the pure jiva takes on his spiritual body and enters into the existence of rasa. So this is what Krishna's all about. Rasa Raj, that's his whole business. All this, it's not just to render devotional service. It's not the devotional service that's really interesting. It's the rasa that is churned from the devotional service. That's what Krishna's interesting. He's only enjoying that, the essence of the devotion, the rasa that's coming out there. He's the enjoyer. He's Rasa Raj. So that's his business. So that is revealed. It descends on the living entity as Bhakti Devi. So then Krishna's attracted to Bhakti. Bhakti Devi, or the Haladini potency. So in fact, what's happening here, Krishna is becoming attracted to the Haladini potency that is bestowed also upon the living entity. Haladini potency is Srimati Radharani. So in other words, Krishna is attracted by Srimati Radharani. We're cultivating that devotion by the grace of the Lord of the Holy Name. He's bestowing upon us sufficient Haladini Shakti because we don't have sufficient. And Krishna's attracted to that Haladini Shakti. And that Haladini Shakti is Radharani, so Krishna's attracted to Radharani. So whatever relationship is going on, loving relationship, Krishna is simply tasting the Haladini Shakti within every relationship. He's only it's Radharani he's experiencing. Whereas all the jivas, they're experiencing, and Krishna's also experiencing, that this is only the jiva and Krishna, their eternal loving relationship. And Krishna's giving himself fully to that jiva. He said, I promise I give myself to you completely. You or no one else, exclusively you. This is Krishna's promise. But he says to everyone. He can say that to everyone. And it's a fact. So it's going on like that. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Prapita Bhita Bhita Goloka Iva Nivisatiyatam Govinda Madhikrishna. That verse, Radharani is that cheap pleasure. She expands into billions and billions and billions of gopis. All different characteristics, all different forms, all different... to increase Krishna's rasa. They're all simply expansions of the Haladini potency. And Krishna's enjoying, each one has a separate individuality. Otherwise, why have you got Radharani and eight Shakis there? If they're all Radharani, why have you got eight Shakis there? No, they're all completely independent, individual, and have unique, their own unique qualities. And Krishna's enjoying this separately. Krishna's enjoying with Radharani's competitor, and there's a big argument in the fight. Radharani's not saying, well, it's me anyway. It's my potency anyway, he's enjoying with his. Everything is personified, so one can have that, you know, like that depth of love that you can, Krishna's totally sold out to you, and you're totally sold out to him alone. So this is, that's what's happening in Russia. In Tattva, if we analyze the situation, we see Krishna is actually consorting with Radharani. He's having pleasure with Radharani. And that's all that's going on in existence. Krishna is simply contacting Srimati Radharani. See, he is that pleasure potency. In Tattva, when we analyze the situation. But in Rasa, which is the whole spiritual world is moving on, especially with the realm of Raja, then that aspect of is covered by Yoga Maya, and everybody's identifying themselves who they are. And they are that personality eternally anyway. It's not, there's ever a time they all merge back, or it's a temporary manifestation. No, it's an eternal feature of the spiritual world. Krishna says when you go there, you never have to come back. It means, means you're there forever. So, anyway, Prabhupada's mentioned it a couple of times here. This is the actual situation. So it's only the, as it says here, only when Krishna is attracted, he bestows the Hiladini potency upon the living. Now how does Krishna become attracted? By devotion, we know that, or by bhakti, or by a bhakta. So this is the system how it works. Generally, you receive blessing of a devotee, and the devotee invites Krishna, or he tells Krishna, here is a very nice servant of yours, wants to serve you. You get introduced, Krishna introduces you or recommends you to Krishna, the devotee. And if the devotee say, this is a nice devotee, wants to serve you, Krishna will say, okay, I immediately accept. So then he sends his Haladini potency to you. Make that powerful devotion powerful of the jiva. Then Krishna you can actually enter into a relationship with Krishna. So this is the at least the analytical understanding of Srimati Radharani, who's not to be known through analytical study, but it's helpful for us to understand. Because just as we are also simultaneously non-different than Krishna, we're also non-different than the potency of Krishna, because we also have Aladini potency. We are also Satchitananda. So that aspect is there. So it's our intrinsic nature. So now we simply have to use intrinsic nature properly in the service of Krishna. You just put everything right and everything will become will be reinstated in our blissful nature, blissful position of serving Krishna. But here also describing how Krishna expands his energy, so we're trying to understand through the different energies of the Lord. How Krishna is one. Krishna is one, he becomes, when he wants to enjoy, expands as his pleasure potency, Srimati Radharani, he becomes two. than to understand his pleasure potency, because he cannot understand the pleasure potency. He cannot understand the Srimati Radharani properly. So then to understand that potency, again they become one. That's Mahaprabhu. They're Mahaprabhu in the mood with the feature, the sentiment of Srimati Radharani is understanding, is Krishna understanding what Srimati Radharani is experiencing. So he's one, he becomes two, and then he becomes one again to understand his own love that was exhibited by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's a pastime, sorry, it's called Swapna Bilash. Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur tells, and Radha and Krishna, they wake up in the morning, and Radharani says, "Oh, my beloved, I had such an astonishing dream last night." She said, "We was at this beautiful place, just like our Vrindavan, and there was all trees and beautiful birds were there, and there was a beautiful river, just like the Jamuna. It was flowing through by the Jamuna, like the Jamuna. It was just like our Braja." She said, "But then there was these some brahmanas there, and they were doing Harinam Sankirtan, you know, just like we do Kirtan and everything, and when we're doing our Rasleela and things like that. There were these brahmanas doing Kirtan, and there was this beautiful golden brahmana, beautiful, the golden complexion. And they were dancing and chanting Krishna's name. And he was just so much in ecstatic love. He was falling down and showing all symptoms of ecstasy. And he was chanting Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Exactly how I chant Krishna, Krishna, Krishna when I'm separated from you." And then sometimes he would fall down, and then he would say, hey Radha, Kata, hey Radha, where is Radharani? Where is my beloved?" And he would fall down, and again he would just acted like you. So I couldn't understand. Was he you or was he me? It's a puzzle. He seemed exactly like both of us. What is this mystery, sir? Krishna is smiling. She said, "No, tell me the mystery." It's a very mysterious dream you've had. I told you so many of my incarnations. And she said, "No, but tell me this one. It's very, very, very mysterious." And so then Krishna, Kushtava Mani. He has a Kushtava jewel, very famous jewel around his neck. Sometimes it's described as jade, stone. Sometimes described as diamond. That may be figurative. Some people say it's jade. It has a calf engraved on it. So Krishna has this Kushtava Mani. And so this Kushtava Mani starts to become illuminated. And then the rays expand everywhere from his Kushtava Mani. Then she sees it's the same pastime again that she had in her dream. And then she understands. She said, "Now I understand that was you, Krishna. We were both combined. It was both of us. The form was both combined. So now I can understand how you." And she said, "Also by revealing that Kushtava Mani with all the different rays, she could see everything." And she said, "Now I can understand how, you know, you can dance with millions of gopis at one time. Or you have millions of relationships at one time. There's millions of devotees as you as Ramchandra, millions of devotees as you as Krishna. All the different incarnations, there's millions. But you are one, but millions and millions of relationships are going on in all your different forms. Now I can understand, because when you showed me that Kushtava Mani, I could see the pastime. It was actually Gauranga. But whichever ray you're looking in, you can see Krishna as your worshipful deity. It's like the sun. When you look at the sun now, everybody is using different rays to see the sun. The rays are all pervading, but I'm looking, seeing the sun with different sun rays, and you are seeing the sun. So simultaneously," she said, "these rays that are emanating from the Kushtava Mani, when you look, you see your worshipful Lord. Therefore, you are one. But everybody approaches you as that, as they worship the Lord. So she said, I know, I'm happy to understand also, and also to understand that you were that person, that there was a combination of both of us, that was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How we have become one as Mahaprabhu. Jai Srimati Radhikani ki, Sri Radhastami ki, Sri Prabhupada ki, Samaveda Bhakta Pinda ki, Nithai Go Premanandi. Any comments, question?
Hare Krishna Guru, what causes Krishna to bestow the Lavani potency on a particular jiva? Because unless he has already some devotional service, why will Krishna bestow his Lavani potency? And if he has already devotional service that he is performing, is that not also because of some amount of Lavani potency?
Yes. The devotee, he's become a devotee, he's associated with devotees, his faith is increasing, he's becoming more and more advanced. And he's performing devotional service. With his Saladini potency, he's realizing that he's the eternal servant of Krishna. Now he's performing favorable devotional service as much as he can. So he's using his own Saladini potency and cognizant potency, Sandhya potency. But still it's not powerful enough to attract Krishna. So then generally, a devotee is satisfied. So it can be Guru, because specifically the Diksha Guru is taking responsibility to take it back to Godhead. So it can be anyone, but generally there's a recommendation. But as much as we can endeavor, we're trying with our own small, limited bhakti potency. Yeah, so the recommendation comes through the mercy of a devotee. There's also different shlokas. Shloka are saying, where is that example that anybody ever attained love of Godhead without the mercy of a devotee? There is no real example of that. So generous, the mercy is always, Krishna's giving his mercy to his devotees. They actually distribute his mercy. We see in the Navadvipa Avatarana also, in Bhaktivinoda Thakur was, you know, attaining perfection, then he found his guru was there. His guru was started to reveal Navadvipa and the spiritual world and the personality. So, by the mercy of a devotee, then